The following is a presentation from the pulpit of Lancaster Baptist Church. For more audio and video content from our ministry, please visit lancasterbaptist.org.
Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, let's stand together for our scripture reading tonight as we turn to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to read in just a moment, beginning in verse 15, Colossians 3:15. And so turn there in your Bibles, and once again, we welcome you to Sunday night at Lancaster Baptist, and we're excited about continuing our preaching series through Colossians. Tonight, we're going to preach from one verse, and I think it was last Sunday night, we got 2 points out of three that were preached, and so I want to finish the third point and really have developed it into a message that I trust will be used in your life tonight on the subject of the peace of God. I've entitled the message tonight, The Peace of the New Man. The peace of the new man. And I think you'll understand why as we read the text tonight. And in fact, just to get the context, let's begin reading in verse 10. We'll read down through verse 15. We've already preached verses 10 through 14. But just to get the context, let's begin reading in verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let's read verse 15, our text for tonight. Ready, begin. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you tonight for this body, the Lancaster Baptist Church. And Lord, we know that you love the church and gave yourself for it. And we love it tonight. We thank you for it. And we pray that you would teach us tonight how the peace of God can rule in our hearts. Father, how we might know your will and your desire of peace in a real, living, everyday kind of way. So help us and teach us tonight from your word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Many Christians today are restless in their spirit, restless in the sense of having no peace. Many Christians in this hour find themselves irritated and frustrated. And at one minute, they'll say, I'm frustrated with work, and then I'm frustrated with family, and then they're frustrated with school, and they're frustrated with church, and just frustrated. And if you'll listen long enough and watch long enough, there's just kind of a general sense of frustration or a lack of peace in many Christians' lives tonight. And yet the Bible commands us in the text tonight, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. God does not want us to live a restless, angry life. God wants us to have the peace that He has provided through the cross, not only positionally, but practically in our lives each and every day. Did you know that God wants your family to have peace, and God wants your ministry, and God wants your heart to be a place of peace? Well, as we've studied the past few weeks, I want to remind you where that peace really all begins. It begins when we put on the new man. And we learned in verse number 10 that putting on the new man initially means getting saved. It is accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, becoming a new creature. And the Bible speaks of that as putting on the new man. And then there's also the practical day-by-day partaking of the new man. And we saw that as well in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. God says, I want you to put on these attributes. I want you to come to my word as a wardrobe closet. And I want you to put on forgiveness. And I want you to put on meekness and put on long-suffering. And this is the wardrobe of a Christian. And it is one thing to put on Christ when we're saved. It's another thing to keep growing in Christ and to take the attributes of Christ and to conform to the image of Christ. You see, just being saved doesn't guarantee that your life is going to reflect Christ each and every day. It's a daily process of putting on the new man. And we have a choice every day. And we can live according to the flesh, or we can put on the new man. We can respond according to the flesh, or we can put on the new man. Now, as we come down the text tonight, and as we hear these admonitions related to the new man, we read in verse number 15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." God says, I want my children, those that are putting on the new man, I want them to have my peace ruling in their hearts. I want them to be a people that evidence my peace each and every day. Again, many Christians lack this and can go through long periods of anger, frustration, and restlessness in their spirit. And I tell you tonight, God did not design the Christian life to be that emotional roller coaster. God designed the Christian life to be a life where, generally speaking, His peace is at work and evidence each and every day. Now, when God speaks about peace, I want you to see three realms of that peace tonight in this one verse. First of all, I want you to notice this peace is to be a ruling peace. It is to be a ruling peace. Did you notice it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts? It did not say, get peace once in a while, be happy once in a while. It did not say that this peace is something that you can find here and there. God says, I want my peace to rule in your heart. This word peace speaks of a peace such as between individuals, having harmony and living in concord one with another. It is to reconcile or to join two together. There were some missionary Bible translators who were working on this word peace, and they were working very hard to find a word for peace in the tribal language that they were translating the language of the Bible into. And finally, there was a native that was working with them on their committee. And they began to sit down with this native and try to find how to bring the word peace into the vernacular of the tribal language. And he said, the way that it best translates into our language is like this: a heart that sits down. A heart that sits down. And when your heart sits down with Jesus Christ, then through God's Son, Jesus Christ, we can be at peace with one another when we are submitted to the Lord Jesus. If we do not have peace this way, we cannot have peace this way. But when I am at peace with God, and when I'm putting on the new man, then I can have peace vertically as I also have peace with the Lord. And so it is a ruling peace that is spoken of here, a constant abiding peace. Now let me give you a few ways that this ruling peace is really made possible. First of all, this peace rules through salvation from God. It rules in our heart when you know that you're saved. If you do not know that you're saved, then you do not know that you have peace with God. Hence, there is no peace in your life, generally speaking. The Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have, what does it say, class? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The war that existed between the believer and God is now over. There is a treaty that has been made, and the price was the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that, every believer tonight can rest in Jesus Christ. How many of you are glad tonight that you can put your head on the pillow tonight knowing that God loves you and knowing that you are at peace with God through Jesus Christ? Boy, if peace with God was up to your good works, or if it was something depending upon you, we'd never have peace with God. But my peace with God is not something that really depends upon my works. It was settled long ago at the cross of Calvary. And so I can rest in that. I can let God's peace rule in my heart because I know that I am saved. And so we have peace through salvation from God. And thank God this morning for several who found that peace in their heart when they accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. And so someone says, well, how can the peace of God rule in my heart? Number one, you better make sure you're saved. Because when you are saved, there is peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a peace through salvation. But then I want you to know, secondly, it is a peace that rules through submission to God. It is a peace that rules through submission to God. Now, you take a child in your family, they're born into your family, they're your child, nothing will ever change that. They're your flesh and blood, you love them, and they are a part of your family. But if they disobey you, their sense of security and peace may be momentarily disrupted while you remind them that they're not the parent. How many of you understand what I'm saying? There normally is not a deep-seated feeling of peace and security when you're applying the seed of the rod of knowledge to the seed of wisdom. And normally, the fact of the matter is that children that disobey, many times, though they're still your child, there's a lack of peace for just a moment while you deal with that situation. Now, we have peace with God. We're a part of His family. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He loves us positionally. We're at peace with God through Jesus Christ. But if we're going to maintain a daily walk of peace with the Lord, then we must follow His Word. And I want you to understand, you cannot disregard the Bible and have peace with God or in your relationships. Amen. We sing a little song sometimes, and it simply goes like this. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy with Jesus than to what? Trust and obey. You see, anybody understands that. If you know Jesus, but you're not obeying Jesus, you're not regarding the Word, then there will not be peace in your heart. And there is nobody more miserable than a backslidden Christian who is disregarding the Word of God, no one more frumpy, no one harder to talk to, no one more disgusting in their spirit than someone that is not right with God. There's no peace in their heart when they know they're not right with God. And I've seen it many, many times in people, even Christians in church, and they begin to say, well, I'm not going to do that. That's not for me. He can preach it, but I don't need it. They need it. And pretty soon there's frustration. There's lack of peace. There's lack of peace. And pretty soon someone will say, well, it's the environment around me. It's the preacher that's preaching to me. And that's why I don't have peace. But when we get right to the root of the problem, many times there's a lack of peace because we are not obeying what the Bible says. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119, verse 165. Psalm 119, verse 165. Some of you know this verse. But I want you to see the direct correlation between peace and the Word of God tonight. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great, what's the next word say? Peace. By the way, not just any kind of peace, right? Great peace have they which know the channels of the remote control by heart. Is that what it says? Great peace have they which what? Love thy law. And they don't get offended too much. Is that what it says? Great peace have they which love thy law, and what offends them? Nothing shall offend them. Now, say, well, that's a tough verse. But it's a true verse. There is no way that I can be in love with the Word, obedient to the Word, filled with the Spirit, and ticked off at you. There's no way. If I am following the Word of God, which commands me to be filled with the Spirit, which teaches me how to be forgiving others like Jesus Christ, which tells me to put on the new man, if I am loving and obeying this book, there will be peace in my heart. And you can often take your restless spirit, your forlorn spirit, your oh, feel sorry for me spirit, your I'm angry spirit, however you express your emotion, and you can attach it to a lack of obedience and appropriation of the new man. Nearly every single time, I'm telling you that peace will rule in your heart when you apply the Word of God to that same heart. Great peace have they which love thy law. Now, when we don't practice the law, when we are offended and choose not to forgive, when we get frustrated and when we do not show the long-suffering, when we do not show the humbleness of mind, when we do not show the meekness, when we do not forbear, when we do not forgive, when we take the Bible and say, well, that's for somebody else, and we don't follow the Word of God, then we live in a continual, perpetual state of restlessness. But when we apply the Word of God, great peace comes into our hearts. You know, sometimes we go to the doctor, and the doctor, if there's a need, will give us a prescription. And he'll say, I want you to go take this much penicillin or whatever and go down to the pharmacy and fill it. And when you do, these symptoms should subside. Well, God says, I've given my word as a prescription for you. And if you'll love my word, that restlessness is going to go away. If you'll follow my word, that peace will come in. That infection is going to go away. And that cleansing is going to come. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. And so the peace will rule in our heart. First, we better make sure we're saved. Secondly, we better make sure that we love the word of God. Let's read it again. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law. People say, well, I just have some issues. Okay. You're going to handle them biblically or fleshly? By the way, you don't have to tell me you got issues. Pretty obvious. Sometimes we all have issues. It's not whether you have issues, it's what are you doing with the issues? What I try to do with the issues is I try to go to the Word of God and say, Lord, what do you want me to do about the issues? And normally, I want to fight through my issues or prove my point about my issues or make a big stink about my issues. And normally, God says, those aren't even issues. Go back soul winning. Because when I die to myself, when I'm filled with the Spirit, all those issues really aren't issues anymore. And God gives me the peace that I need in my heart. And so we see here that we can have that peace. I want you to turn to Philippians 4 and verse 7. Philippians 4, 7. You see, the Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. The word rule is an athletic term. It means to preside at the games and to distribute prizes. The word rule means God wants peace to be the umpire of your heart. Now, I'm not speaking tonight against all medications, but I believe America is over-medicated. You don't need booze to rule your heart. You don't need illegal drugs to rule your heart. Look, sometimes there may be some medicines that are given and appropriately needed and perhaps for a season, very, very helpful. But I'm telling you, sometimes we go to a quick fix and I want you to know, God says, I want my peace to preside over you. I want my peace to be presiding in your heart, to guide you in making your decisions, to help you in making your choices. I want you to know my peace. Philippians 4, 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I wonder, will your decisions that you make this week leave you at peace with God? Listen, I've been pastoring a long time. I meet people sometimes that 10, 20 years ago made a decision and they get too proud to undo it and they just kind of continually deteriorating and more restless and less joy. If they would just go back to the point of when they first got saved and start over again. And by the way, how many of you are glad to know God's always ready to meet you right there and give you a second chance? God wants to umpire our hearts. And so he says, I want my peace to be a ruling peace in your heart. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to get frustrated. I'm not saying that every time someone slams the brakes in front of you, you're going to say, oh, praise the Lord, I had a fender bender. I know it's frustrating when incidents happen, but it is abnormal biblically to stay frustrated and to stay frustrated. God says that's not the norm for the Christian life. I want my peace to rule in your heart. How many of you want God's peace to rule your heart? I hope you do. I think your kids would like to see that. I think it's a wonderful testimony when Christians have the peace of God ruling their heart. So it's a ruling peace. Notice also in this verse, it says, not only are we to have the peace of God ruling in our heart and let the peace of God rule in your heart, but notice the next phrase, to which also ye are called in one body. To the which also ye are called in one body. Would you read that phrase with me, please? To the which also. Now, peace then is not only objective, it is also subjective or relational. God says, I want you to have my peace ruling in your heart, but I want you to remember that you're a part of a body, and I want that peace to be something that is existing in the whole body. Now, individuals who have peace with Christ and in their own hearts can have unity with others. And I say this again, many times in counseling or many times in talking with folks, there will be, I have a problem with this person. Okay, all right, let's talk this out. I have a problem with this person. All right, let's work on forgiveness. Let's work on this. Let's have some counseling. Let's listen to preaching. Let's deal with that. I have a problem with this person. And after a while, we begin to realize, you know what? We might have a problem right here in this person. But when this person gets peace, it's amazing how we can have peace with other people. It's like the guy that accidentally, while making a sandwich, wipes his face and gets some Limburger cheese up here under his nose. You heard the story, haven't you? And he walks outside, and he's walking around. He goes, man, it stinks out here. Man, it stinks in my car. Stinks at work. The whole world stinks. Because he got the Limburger cheese on his nose. Somebody that's not at peace with themselves, they're never going to be at peace with their friends, their family, or their church family. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. But now we see not only it's to be a ruling peace, but we see it's to be a relational peace. And I want you to see in verse 15, to the which also ye are called in one body. Now, the body of our fellowship is mentioned here tonight. And that phrase, one body, the body of our fellowship, is referencing the local New Testament church. And you'll find the reference body to speak about the body life, the church life, the fellowship. We are called to fellowship and to serve and to worship in the body of the local church. 1 Corinthians 10:17, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread, Jesus Christ. And we are one in the Spirit. We are one in the bond of love. And everyone tonight in this body is a vital piece to God and of a vital place to God. He loves us as members of this body. So God says, I want you to remember that you are to be together in this body. You know, the word together is found in the New Testament 79 times. Of the 79 times, over 50 of those times speak about the togetherness of the body life. God says, I want my people together in the body. And when you read about the bodies in the church age and in the New Testament, you'll find that those local assemblies, those New Testament bodies, were places where the peace of God was ruling, where God was at work. And when there was a problem, it was confronted. It was dealt with. Matthew 18, it was something that was dealt with in order that that peace might continue. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31 says they prayed together. Acts 14, they heard the missionaries together. Acts 19, 19, they took their idols, their occultic books, their rock and roll music, if you will, or their New Age books, if you will. And together in Acts 19 at Ephesus, they burned them. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, they were perfectly joined together. 1 Corinthians 3, 9, they labored together. 2 Corinthians 1, 11, they were helping together. Colossians 2, 2, their hearts were knit together. Hebrews 10, 25, they were assembling together. Listen, God wants you and God wants me to have peace in my heart with Him and peace together with one another in the body. It's a relational peace, and that is the will of God, the body of our fellowship. And I want to say tonight, I thank God for the Lancaster Baptist Church. I'm really privileged to be the pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church. And I love this church family. And I thank God for the peace that exists within this church family. And yet we must continue to pray and love and serve and encourage together as a body for the glory of Jesus Christ, you see. That's His plan, the body of our fellowship. But remember, not only that this is the body of our fellowship, but remember the basis of our fellowship. I want you to see the basis is, first of all, our salvation in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 7:15, but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. 1 Corinthians 7:15. God has called us to peace. You know, someone that's not a believer and doesn't want to hang out with us, hey, that's fine. Someone that's even a believer and doesn't want to hang out, that's their prerogative. It's a free country. But those of us who worship here in this body together, there is only one way to do it according to the Word of God, and that is with the peace of God ruling in our heart. And when something troubles me or troubles you, then I've got to get alone with God and give it to God. And I've got to get back up with peace so that I can shake your hand and help a missionary and go out soul winning and do ministry together. And listen, if I can't for some reason deal with it, just me and God, then I've got to go to you and say, Brother Bud, I just want you to know that for the last several days, every time I think about you, I get frustrated. I should not, Brother Bud. I don't know really why. I'm trying to think of a reason, Brother Bud. You want to give me one, Sharon? No, no. And Brother Bud might say to me, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. I didn't mean to cut you off in the parking lot like that. I really am. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it. And I'll say, oh, I'm sorry it even bothered me, Brother Bud. Could we pray about it? Look, don't wait 10 years. Let's not wait 10 years and be frustrated and then all of a sudden say, I'm just not going to stay around Pastor Chapel anymore. Don't you think it might please the Lord if we go to the altar? Amen. Now, you could start sitting in the middle and then in the back and then in the foyer and then bye-bye, Bud. I've watched that hundreds of times. You could go back there or we could come up here. We could come right up here, Brother Bud. And we could talk about it and pray about it, couldn't we? Because we want peace in our own hearts, don't we? Amen. Good for our health anyways. Amen. Stress isn't good for our health, is it?
No, sir.
No, sir. And we want peace within our hearts. We want peace between one another, don't we?
Amen.
We want those grandchildren over there to know we love each other, don't we?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Amen. And your son-in-law, he needs all the help he can get, doesn't he?
He really does.
He really does. All right, now he needs to come pray because he's bitter. All right. Come on. All right. He's repenting my sin for me right now. You guys can be seated. Look, I'm telling you, this thing about having peace in your heart, it doesn't stay there automatically. The devil wants to ruin it every time. The devil's an expert at getting people restless. I just don't know, man. I just don't know. I'm just kind of bothered. Just some things happen here and there. Really? Well, anything that robs your peace is an action item on your spiritual list. Now, you better pin down the causes before the causes pin you down. You better deal with that. And thank the Lord we have a place here where we can. Now, be honest, because if you're really looking for a way out of your marriage, then you know that's not what we're going to accommodate here. But if you really love the Lord and you're a Baptist and this is what you want, then there's one way to deal with troubles, and that's just to get together and pray it through and talk it out and have peace together. And I don't know about you, I like to have peace when I go to church. I got enough trouble everywhere else. I'm going to tell you right now, some of you are going to go to the mall this week or next or December 24th. You know what you're going to find? Frustration. Tomorrow, some of you are going to go to work, and someone's going to come up to you and say, hey, got to talk to you about the boss. There's several of us here that have a concern about him. Here we go again. Politics in the workplace. And then sometimes there's trouble maybe that you deal with in other arenas. You know what God says? He says, I want you to have peace. Let it rule in your heart like an umpire. To the which also ye are called in one body. He says, I want you to have a ruling peace, and I want you to have a relational peace. I want you to know that based upon the calling of God, 1 Corinthians 7:15, God has called us to peace. And he says there in 1 Corinthians 7:15, if an unbeliever depart, let him depart, a brother or sister not in bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. Look it, we can't control the whole wide world's response to the gospel. We're not responsible for other churches and others that may be believers, but we have to be responsible for ourselves, ladies and gentlemen, to live at peace and to be at peace with one another, to walk in the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. So God says, I want you to have a ruling peace. I want you to have a relational peace. And then thirdly, notice this. I want you to have a reflecting peace. A reflecting peace. Look at verse 15 now. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And say these next four words with me, please. And be ye thankful. Say it again.
And be ye thankful.
Reflecting peace. Peace comes into your heart when there's gratitude in your heart. Okay? Now, you say, well, I have some frustration. Okay, I understand that. I have frustration sometimes too. Things happen. But when I pull apart from the emotion of that, and I begin to stack up my frustrations next to my blessings, guess which stack always wins? Every time. Now, a fleshly Christian doesn't see it that way, and the devil doesn't want us to see it that way. You know, a lot of times as a pastor for these 27 years, there'll be gazillions of blessings, and there'll be a couple burrs in the saddle, a couple problems. You know what the devil wants me to wake up at night thinking about? The couple of problems. You know what? When I might wake up or when I might have a thought about the problems, you know what I do? I go back to counting my blessings. You know, one of the habits I've had these last few years is to just take some time every week and just sit down with a pen and paper and literally just write out the blessings that God has given to me in my life and just reflect on the blessings of God and experience a reflecting peace by being thankful. And some of you, I don't know, some of you might need to practice that as a part of your devotions, as a part of your journaling, just writing down all the good things that God has done for you. He's done so many good things. Sometimes we might try a little hard, too hard at reflecting. Brother Beto's here tonight. We had our Thanksgiving. We were all waiting for Ashley to have her baby, and Brother Beto's son-in-law is also his pastor. And so Aaron was with us, Aaron Erlbacher. Some of you guys remember Aaron Erlbacher, and now he's a pastor. He's one of our college graduates. And so he was over at the house for Thanksgiving, And so I always, before we eat, we always have a brief biblical reading and say a few things of thanksgiving, of course, and then we pray and we eat and get right into the turkey. And we were ready to get that turkey. My wife had put on a spread. I mean, I don't know how many turkeys and things we had cooked and all kinds of jello and potatoes and gravy and all kinds of cholesterol builder-upper stuff. Man, I'll tell you what, I'd been so good for about 2 weeks, and I was ready to just dive in and have this meal. It was just steaming up off that counter. And I said to Aaron, I said, I'm so glad you're here, and we're so proud of you as a pastor and now a part of our family. And why don't you just take a moment and just pick one of the Thanksgiving Psalms, Psalm 95, Psalm 100, Psalm 105. Just read a portion of Thanksgiving for us before we eat. So we all gathered there, I forget which one now it was. I think it might have been Psalm 95 or Psalm 100. It's the one that deals with all the plagues of Pharaoh. That one. Now, the first three verses say, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Let us bring thanks to the Lord. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. Something like that. That's what I had in mind. But all Aaron heard me say was the chapter. And he stood up. I said, Aaron's going to read some scripture for us. He started reading and reading. In fact, let me find it for you right now while I'm just thinking about it. You're not going to get the full effect of it. I think it was Psalm 100. No, it wasn't Psalm. It must have been Psalm 105. I think that's what it was. That's what it was, Psalm 105. I just want to share with you some of the reading for our Thanksgiving. Psalm 105:1 was, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all of his wondrous works. How many of you understand that's good right there? That's about where it's time to pray and start eating potatoes right there. But Aaron, being a fundamental Bible-believing graduate of our college, he wasn't just going to read a few measly verses. He was going to read the whole psalm. And so he continued reading down through verse 26. And he sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he called his chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. And he sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. And he turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. They brought land forth, frogs in abundance in chambers of their kings, he spake. And there came diverse sorts of flies and lice all over their coasts. We were being as serious as we could be. I was saying, yes, amen. Brother Beto was standing over there. Mm-hmm, yes. We were the elders of the family. Yes, Thanksgiving morning, flies and lice, yes, amen. Blood, yes, blood curdling, yes. And we're just reading it on there. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land and smote their vines also and their fig trees and brake the trees of their coast. He spake and the locusts came and the caterpillars and that without number. Boy, I tell you what, we were just having a Thanksgiving morning. Somewhere between the blood and the locusts, Christine went. You imagine laughing at God's word? I'm telling you what, we all started laughing. He was so intent on reading. I mean, just reading through that passage, somewhere in the middle of it, I pulled out my phone and just did one of those secret little picture-taking, took his picture while I was reading. I sent it to him the other day. I said, thanks for the memories. I sent him the picture. Now, look, you don't have to get that serious about Thanksgiving, okay? He was getting real serious. I mean, we had that spread laid out. It was getting colder by the moment, you know. But he finally got through it, and we had a good laugh, and we had a good time of Thanksgiving and prayer, and it was a blessing. But, you know, God wants us, first of all, to reflect through gratitude. Now, notice this verse again. It says, and be ye thankful. How many times does God have to tell us that? And be ye thankful. To maintain a peaceful heart, one has to be thankful. The foundation for gratitude is the expectation of nothing. And God says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. God says, I want to hear from you, but when you're asking me for stuff, would you be sure to thank me for what you already have? Would you remember to be grateful for what I've given to you? President Lincoln said in 1863, we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us, and have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. And we had forgotten God. And Moody and other great preachers who were alive at the time of Lincoln began preaching, and revival came, and America repented, and we rebuilt our nation after that Civil War, and God began to bless. But then came along more of the industrial age and more of the computer age, and guess what has happened in America again? We have forgotten God, and many times we bring those selfish, complaining ways right back into the church. And God said, hey, I want you to be thankful for what I've done for you. Be thankful. Reflect through gratitude. Sometimes I'd like to take discontented, complaining Baptists just for a week of hospital visits. And just, you know, this happened to my kid, and this wasn't fair, and this and this, and this and this. And just for a week of hospital visits to see what big of a deal it was. I remember years ago, a friend of mine, he was an only child, And he asked me if I would go with him and his parents for a couple days out to Palm Springs. And so I asked my parents. I don't know, I might have been a junior higher. And they said yes. And we went out to this hotel. I forget the name of it, but his dad had some business stuff to do. And so they said, you guys just swim. And boy, we swam and swam like fish. And we had a wonderful time. And they said, all right, come on in. It's time for dinner. And we were running back into the hotel room, get ready for dinner. And as we ran in, I hit my foot up against the threshold of the door of the hotel. Oh, my soul. Oh, it hurt so bad. I laid on the bed. The pain went all up through my body. I mean, I was crying real live crocodile tears and just shaking in convulsions and just sure that everything was broken. That little toe of mine throbbed and throbbed until it felt like it was maybe 10 or 12 inches wide. I couldn't get a sock on. I couldn't get a shoe on. I could not move. That toe hurt so bad. They didn't know what to do. I mean, here I was their guest. I had this major traumatic injury. They wanted to be wise stewards of the whole situation. So we went to the emergency room of Eisenhower Hospital to the triage nurse. And I hopped in there to the triage nurse. She said, yes, what's your problem? I said, it's my toe. It's my little toe. It's throbbing. It's big. It hurts. I can't walk. It's terrible. I think it's broken in multiple places. All right, sit down, fill out the clipboard. So I'm filling out the clipboard, and they're being so nice to me. And I mean, we're sitting there. I mean, that toe is hurting. I got it elevated, you know, I'm just sitting there filling out my clipboard, you know. While I'm filling out my clipboard, all of a sudden, doors crash open. Firemen, paramedics start coming in. Policemen start coming in. Body after body after body. There had been a bus overturn on Interstate 10. There were people with bones sticking out. There were people with head injuries. There were people with all kinds of injuries, multiple, I would say at least 15 different people coming by, blood on the floor coming by, and I'm sitting there going. Because my baby toe hurt. We sat there for quite a while. The job of the triage nurse is to decide who needs medical attention first. In a situation like that, baby toes are sort of to the last. I'm sitting there. I don't know, about 30 minutes later. I mean, I'm only about 7th or 8th grade. But I knew enough to know this. My toe will get better. It's going to be okay. I mean, we'll put some ice on it, right? You can't even really put a cast on a baby toe anyway, can you? It's just going to have to take some time and just get okay, because look at all this. And you know, when I listen to people sometimes with their restless spirit, when they want to kind of like just change their whole life, many times they sound kind of like I did when I was in junior high, thinking how bad everything was. When, with a little grace, love, forgiveness, long-suffering, and mercy, it'd probably be okay. Because great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. God says, listen, I want you to have a reflecting peace. Would you just reflect through gratitude? Take some time to be thankful. And would you remain through gratitude? Would you remain through gratitude? See, when we get restless, when we get frustrated, pretty soon we say, that's it. You have stepped on my last nerve. I had one nerve left and you stepped on it. That's it. And sometimes men say something like this. I'll tell you, I can go get someone a lot better than you. No, you can't. Men, please, don't be so silly to think or say such a thing. You know, the fact of the matter is, when you get restless, you're not going to remain where God wants you to remain and with who God wants you to remain. Remember our theme verse? I shared it with you 11 months ago. It is in Colossians. Turn back, if you would, chapter 2 and verse 7. What's the first word? What's the first word?
Rooted.
You remember the illustration I used on that first vision night, 2012? I brought out here on this platform, what kind of a variety of plant? What? Oak tree? What kind?
Tumbleweed.
Russian tumbleweed, to be exact. And we talked about how the restless tumbleweed moves and rolls and moves and rolls because it's never properly rooted. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to be rooted in your marriage and rooted in the local body and rooted in the things that God has for you, you got to learn how to be thankful, because one of the devil's tools to get you restless and to get you uprooted is to get you unthankful. But when you get thankful, you will remain true to the Lord Jesus Christ. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith. Please look at that, Colossians 2, 7. As ye have been taught, abounding therein with what? With what? Oh. Somebody say, well, Pastor, I am thankful. Once a year on Thanksgiving Day, I'm thankful. I truly believe God wants us to be thankful every day. In everything, give thanks. You will remain in your marriage. You will remain faithful to God. You will remain, period, with a grateful heart. There is no other way. So let me ask you this question tonight. What's ruling your heart? What's the dominant emotion of your heart tonight? Discouragement? Lethargy? Frustration? Anger? What's ruling? Something is ruling your heart tonight. God says, I want peace to rule your heart. I want my peace to rule your heart personally. I want you to have a ruling peace. I want you to have a relational peace, one with another. And I want you to have a reflecting peace. And when you reflect on my goodness, it's going to remain, and you're going to remain, and it's going to be constant with you. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Oh, what a wonderful way to live. Let's read that verse together, shall we? Colossians chapter 3. And verse 15, ready, begin. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And be ye thankful. You say, Pastor, everything you preach tonight I've heard preached before. You know, God puts some of these things in the Bible more than once, doesn't he? Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let's stand again.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If this message has helped you, we hope you will share it with a friend or family member. We always love to hear from those whom God has changed through his word. Share your story with us at lancasterbaptist.org/contact.